I'm here with Dr. Chamberlain, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics, and also the Medical Director of Pediatric Advocacy Program and Director of Scholarly Concentrations in Community Health here at Stanford School of Medicine. And thank you for joining us and allowing us to interview you.
Absolutely.
I should add that we're actually in your classroom right now.
We are. So the background noise
that we hear is that. The first question I have is, can you describe your work in community health and advocacy?
Certainly. So I would say that my work in community health and advocacy stems from my interest in trying to reduce health inequities, health disparities. Another way to put it. I really see clinically that children who live in poverty suffer from a whole host of diseases more than other children. I see that children in poverty have less chances than others in terms of educational opportunities and other ways to advance and really reach their full potential. And so I can't address all those issues in the clinic. I can only witness them and bear witness to them. Mm-hmm. But it's really through community engagement or policy engagement that I feel like I can make a difference. And I think a great example of how my clinical work has catapulted me into these other settings is with obesity. So I see just a ton of obesity, no pun intended, in terms of so many children are overweight and obese. And I can tell them that they need to make behavioral choices differently or that their mothers should, fathers should make different choices. But the fact is that they live in a culture that promotes this through subsidizing fast food, through built environments that make walking almost impossible, etc. And so I can do all the counseling I want in clinic. It's not going to make a difference because no epidemic has ever been controlled at the level of an individual, whether you're talking about cholera or obesity. You've got to move to work at a population level. And so that allows me then to, or inspires me to try to work with the schools, to change the school lunches, to work with the city, to try to improve walkability, to try to address these things in the community through partnering with school districts, through partnering with nonprofit groups, with youth groups who have a similar passion. So it's not like I'm out doing that work by myself. But what it does is it continues to make me feel like it inspires me, it keeps me going, it keeps me from getting burned out clinically when I see these patients over and over, and makes me feel like I might be part of the solution to the epidemic. So I would say that it has come from my clinical exposures and it's also just extraordinarily gratifying.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. What got you involved with this work? In terms of your background, what inspired this kind of...
You know, I've always wondered, like, are kind of advocates, are they born or are they created? And I guess I would have to think that it's kind of both in my case. I come from a family where social justice was an important theme growing up. You know, we talked a lot about, at the dinner table, about fairness, about equity, about how fortunate we were to have opportunities, how not everybody has those, about the importance of a level playing field. I don't think it's about giving certain groups advantages. I think it's about making sure that everyone has equal advantages and equal opportunities. So I think part of it was my kind of upbringing that way. And then I think part of it, though, is separate from my family. It's just, it's who I am. It's the exposures that I've had through undergraduate medical school and residency, having the privilege to get to know people who are different than I was, to know people who live in poverty, to understand their struggles personally as I got to know them as patients. And I think that they, understanding their challenges, really inspired me to recognize the importance of kind of these environmental contextual issues and how they create disease. An important part, though, was pursuing a Master's of Public Health degree at Berkeley. And as far as my career went, that was a really eye-opening experience. And seeing that the things I was seeing clinically and the health disparities I was seeing really understood in the theoretical models and the important research and literature, I'd never studied that before. I'd always sensed it clinically, but I'd never sat down and been taught about why I was seeing what I was seeing. And so that really was an important part of my education in terms of understanding the health of populations and the power of public health, but how you can change things through public health. And so I would say that that was an important formative experience. And that's a lot of what this class is that I'm teaching, the dwindling noise behind us, in terms of trying to convey some of the public health principles to medical students. And so that's what the courses I've developed and the programs I've developed here at Stanford have tried to bring some of those perspectives into our traditional medical training so that you don't have to stumble into an MPH a couple years down the road, but that you're exposed to these ideas early on.
Okay. Given our time frame, what's going on with this nation, why do you think this type of work is important?
That's a good question. I think that in America, this work is particularly important because we have more health inequity than other countries. And that's because we have a greater, wider distribution of economic inequity. And those two tend to track together. So I think that it's particularly important, as you say, as a nation right now, we're grappling with healthcare reform. We're grappling with, you know, do we cover and ensure access to medical care, which we know the evidence shows makes a difference and saves lives. You know, do we do that for all of our citizens, or does health insurance and coverage remain something that's available to those who can afford it? I think these are moral questions, and I think it's a particularly important time in this country to be working on these issues, and an exciting time because I think there's a lot of shift going on. I think we are an incredibly diverse nation, very rich in our diversity, and that strengthens us incredibly as a nation. But with the diversity comes discrimination, and that's kind of the downside to diversity, and I think that the discrimination plays out in poor health outcomes sometimes. And so I think that we are, America is unique in that we have that strength, but we also have the challenge that comes with that strength. So.
Okay. Why do you think people with this interest should come to Stanford?
Oh my gosh, because it's just, you're at the perfect nexus at Stanford in terms of geographic location and resources and opportunities. I think it's an incredibly innovative university. It's an incredibly innovative medical school in terms of the opportunities to think beyond the traditional. I mean, we really encourage, the whole culture here is kind of innovation, and it's, you know, it's Silicon Valley. It's think differently. And so we've got these, you know, time immemorial problems of health inequity that's been around forever. And yet we think about what are innovative ways to solve those problems? What are innovative ways to work in populations? And so we have people who don't think about the traditional things like, oh, let's, you know, do basic stuff over and over. We really try to think about how can we address global health inequity and domestic issues in innovative ways. We have a great opportunities for medical students in terms of the concentration system here, where everyone gets to pick an area of study, and some of the two very popular are concentration in community health and health policy. And those, both of those, I think, are really neat opportunities to do scholarship, individual scholarly work with faculty who are working on these issues. So we support that with time and resources and everything else. And so I think that you've got great opportunities as a medical student to work with residents and faculty fellows as well, all the way up the pipeline, who are committed to doing this in really innovative ways.
Okay. Any closing thoughts you would like to relay?
I think it's a really exciting time. I mean, I think that in terms of how we work with people in other schools, schools of engineering, school of law, school of business, physicians can't do this work on their own. And there's a lot of really neat interdisciplinary work going on as far as working with low-income areas in that are adjacent to our community as well as globally. So we've got a wonderful new Dean of International Health, and she is bringing incredible programs and energy and resources to our campus in terms of health and international settings, as well as I think it's powerful. She believes that global is local. If you're going to work globally, that includes working in underserved areas here domestically. And so we really see eye to eye on that in terms of we're going to integrate the education of our residents and fellows and faculty in terms of doing global work is very similar principles to doing local work. Mm-hmm. And we're working very hard to create opportunities that are funded for our students to be able to work both globally and locally to address and reduce health inequity. So I think it's a great time to be at Stanford if you're interested in these issues, and you'll work with some of the smartest students you've ever met. So it's really a privilege to be able to work here.
Well, Dr. Chamberlain, thank you for taking a moment to meet with us today.
Absolutely.
I should add that we're actually in your classroom right now.
We are. So the background noise
that we hear is that.